Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit among us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Guide us as your church, as individual members of this body, to proclaim your word as we have been touched by your Holy Spirit in our baptism, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We consider both from the gospel reading today and from Acts chapter 2, the second reading, and I do want to compliment the lay reader today. Most people don't want to read on Pentecost because of all the names of the towns. You did a fabulous job. So you've done your homework. It's a good student. So Pentecost, it's a great day. And I wonder how many of you are doing anything really special for Pentecost. I would imagine that you do something at Christmas, right? You have you decorate your houses, you exchange gifts, you have a nice Christmas dinner, you send Christmas cards, all good things, right? And then we get to that second great day in the church year, that's called Easter, and, you know, we add extra services, we have Easter brunch and breakfast, right? All that kind of stuff. Sometimes we even send Easter cards, right? Not too many. I think Hallmark has missed the opportunity there, by the way. But the churches are full again. And then we get to Pentecost, which is the third major festival in the church year. And we ask people to wear red, and thank you for those of you that did wear red as a sign and a symbol of the Spirit of God. But I wonder, are any of you planning a family Pentecost gathering today? Probably not, right? Anybody doing anything special for dinner? No, probably not. And we just kind of let Pentecost go by. And yet, this is such a significant day in our journey of faith and life. If you listen to the gospel, Jesus was saying that he was going to leave. But he wasn't going to leave them without some power to do what he had called them to do. Disciple means follower, but disciple also means one who sent. And so these disciples, as they go through these last few weeks of their time with Jesus, are probably wondering what's going on. If you remember, and I didn't even mention this at the other services, but when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to leave, and Peter said, no, you can't do that, right? And Jesus' response to him was what? Just after Peter had made this great confession of faith, Peter said, get behind me, Satan. Only Satan doesn't want me to complete the sacrifice that I have come to make. So these disciples, again, are beginning to wonder what's going on, what's happening. But Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send upon you the power of the Spirit of God so that you will be empowered to get out of your comfort level, whatever that was, and to be witnesses for me in the world. So can you imagine what must have been going through the minds of the disciples when they heard that? They were comfortable. He was there with them all the time, but now he's telling them, I'm leaving. But the promise that he gave them of the Spirit was probably in their minds. And now, these days later, Pentecost, which was not a new festival, by the way, that just began on this day, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Pentecost was an annual festival. It was a festival of the spring harvest. And sometimes it's called the Day of First Fruits, the first harvest of the year. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Harvest. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Weeks, about seven times seven is a Feast of Weeks. And this is the 50th day, all right, from the spring. So here they are coming into this same, perhaps the same upper room where Jesus had spoken to them. And as Acts chapter 2 says, the day of Pentecost came, they're all together, you know, these disciples, probably a few others. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. You think you would have liked to have been there when that happened? How do you think you might have reacted? Just like that, right? You know, said nothing. You know, worship is interactive, so it's okay if I open a door, you can talk, all right? But in reality, they probably had this great fear. What's going on? What's happening to us? What's going to happen to us? And yet some amazing things happened there in fulfillment of what Jesus, what we're told even in Acts chapter 1. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the same Spirit that little Chloe's going to be baptized with in a little while. It's the Spirit of God. And so, and they're in this room, and all of a sudden all of this is happening, and some amazing things happen. Like, all of a sudden, there were tongues of fire on their heads. Is it crooked? All right, there we go. It might have been crooked then, too. All right? We don't know. But can you imagine looking at one another? Did the kids make these in Sunday school last week, I think? I think that's what I heard. That's how I got one anyway. So all of a sudden they've got this tongue of fire. You know, it's the power and the presence of God. You know, energy, light, whatever it brings to us. I'll take it off so you're not distracted anymore. All right? But that promise had been fulfilled. What Jesus said was going to happen in their lives became a reality. The indwelling power of the Spirit of God was upon them. Now, what do they do with it? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were moved to do amazing things. And in reality, what happened in that very room is a reversal of the first lesson that our lay reader read. When the people thought, well, we're gonna have our own community, we're going to build a tower to heaven, we're just going to be right, and they began to do it, and what did God do? All of a sudden, they couldn't understand one another, right? They were speaking all these different languages so that they could be sent to the world, right? And I always think that's kind of a picture of the church. He brings us all together with all of our different gifts and talents and abilities, and he says, but I don't want you to get so comfortable in just being the church or the congregation that gathers together, but I want to spread you out into the world. That's what it means to be church. To take the individual gifts and graces that God bestows upon each one of us, and everyone is a little bit different, and he says, now use those gifts. Make a difference in the lives of the people in this world. Our gathering together as the church is to help us to be empowered through his word, through his sacrament, to leave this place with a desire to share what God has done for us. Our vision, our ministry is that everyone would what? Know the love of Jesus. And we are the disciples of Christ in this 21st century world, which in so many ways is probably not much different than the first century world, right? And so the challenge is there for us, but God says, I empower you with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Every one of you has been given a variety of gifts, all different, but all important. You know, some have been given a gift to preach. I wasn't one of those, but I'm doing it anyway, all right? Some have been given the gift to heal. Nurses, doctors. It's not their healing, it's God's healing. It's not our preaching, it's God's preaching. But all of us have been given gifts to make a difference in the world. It might be by teaching a child. It might be by helping the homeless. It might be by a variety of different ways. But God gives us all those abilities. And so as this happened in this upper room, they were moved to do things that they thought were impossible. And the reverse of what happened at the Tower of Babel, when all of a sudden their languages were all different, right? And then they were sent out. Now each one of the people that were there were given the ability to speak a language to people who had come from all over the world to Jerusalem to tell them what God had done. Now, I don't know about you, but learning a new language is not an easy thing, right? How many of you took Latin in school? Anybody take Latin? Yeah, really, young guy taking Latin. Thanks be to God, all right? I took Latin. I had to take Latin. Prep school, we had to take Latin. And I remember those first days of Latin. I can't even remember the teacher's name. I don't remember a lot, but I remember that. And all of a sudden, it was learning how to conjugate and decline and all this kind of stuff. And I remember the great statement of all of us Latin students then. You ready for this? How many of you hear anybody speaking Latin today? No, that doesn't happen. Well, that's why, because Latin was a dead language, as dead can be. First it killed the Romans. Now it's killing me. How many of you speak Greek? We had one at the first service. How about Hebrew? You know, that's all. Yeah, that's very confusing. And you know, they read back to front, right to left. You think you could learn those languages quickly? Was it easy to learn Latin? No, no. And of course, we don't speak it anymore. How many of you know how to speak Spanish? Oh, a little bit, a few more. Not many, though, right? You took it in school? Yeah. Could you carry on a conversation today in Spanish? Yeah. ¿Cómo está? Yeah. Well, that's about it, all right? Anybody take German? Yeah. Guten Tag, right? Yeah. Wie geht's? That's about it, folks. We took them all. What? Count to 10. Yeah. Yeah, most people can't count to 10 even in German. They get stuck on Zofa, you know, after 3 or 4. But all of a sudden, these disciples were able to engage the people who had come into Jerusalem for Pentecost and tell them the story of what God had done for us in Jesus Christ. And you know what, folks? Disciples of Christ in this 21st century world, that's what God gives to you, that gift. Little Chloe's going to get a candle and everything, and she's going to be told, let your light so shine before others. Well, that's using your gifts. That's what it means to let your light shine before others. Later today, 16 young people, I believe, are going to reaffirm their baptisms. And we're going to send them back out into the world. Not that they know everything, but what? That they've reaffirmed what happened at their baptism and told to continue to grow in that faith. How many of them do that? Sometimes that's the challenge. We always used to say, we had a big bunch, I never told this one before either, we had a whole bunch of beehives up in the eaves of our church out in Dix Hills, and we couldn't get rid of the bees. So our solution was, we're going to baptize and confirm them all, and then we knew we'd never see them again. We laugh, but that's the sad reality sometimes. But God says, no, I'm going to equip you by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can make a difference in the lives of other people. You, as the church, gathered to grow, scattered to serve. That's who we are. So, as we come to this Pentecost day, it's the Spirit that moves us to do what we do. For the past 2.5 weeks since I've been back here at Trinity, people have asked me this question many times. Why would you do what you're doing at Trinity? I left here 37 years ago. I did my little gig out in Suffolk County. retired, but here I am. So the other night when I was greeting the parents and grandparents and others for our band concert from the school, which I would encourage you to go to next year, it's wonderful, great kids, great gifts of and talent. The principal asked me to just tell who I was, so I told him, you know, hey, I've been here back in the 70s, I did my exile out in Suffolk County, then I retired, and now I'm back, and I said, and I come from Williamsburg. And I said, and the commute is kind of challenging, all right? But I'm looking at their faces, and I'm thinking, you know what they're thinking? They're thinking Brooklyn. They're thinking I'm commuting from Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And I said, no, folks, my commute is anywhere from 7.5 hours to 12 hours. So why am I doing this? The big bucks? No. Because I've got nothing better to do? Not really. But in reality, it's because the Spirit of God touched me and said, hey, go back to a place that you love, that you respect, and the people there, the past, the present, and the future. Use your gifts. So I checked with all the important people, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, respected colleagues in mission and ministry, and the Spirit of God said, do it. A still, small voice. And yet, that's the same voice that whispers in our ears and says to us, serve me as I have served you. That same Holy Spirit is your counselor. As he told the disciples, I will ask your Father and he will give you a counselor. That's the Spirit. It is the Spirit of truth, of what God has done for us out of his great love for us, to offer his Son as a living sacrifice for us. It's that Spirit of truth who leads us. It is that Spirit who is our teacher, who will teach you all things, in order that you can teach others so that all might know the love of Jesus. That's our purpose. That's our vision. That's our ministry. And so we as a congregation, we as a community of faith, are Spirit-fed by God. We're Spirit-led by God. We're Spirit-driven by God, so that we would proclaim Christ crucified and risen for the salvation of all of God's people. It is that same Spirit that worked in the lives of the people in John's Gospel and these disciples on that first Pentecost that we can say that, as Paul said to the Corinthians, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by that Holy Spirit. And so we rejoice this day, and we have these little pins for you to take as you leave if you don't have one, as a reminder of the indwelling power of God's Spirit that leads us and guides us in the journey and challenges us to be vital instruments in that work of mission and ministry which he has given to the church this day. May that Spirit work in you mightily that he might be glorified and we can rejoice in being called a child of God. Amen. May the peace of God then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith unto life everlasting. Amen.